Well, good morning. I hope you received my email and read Proverbs 9 and are ready to participate, because I will look forward to your help as we go through this. So what I wanted to do today is, there's been many times over the past few years or throughout my life where, you know, I face questions, face challenges. And, you know, as a Christian, you know, I look to God's Word for direction and guidance. But more specifically, oftentimes I go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs provides a wonderful resource for us to live our lives. And looking through the book of Proverbs, we see a comparison between, oftentimes we see folly and wisdom compared to each other. And I thought, as I came to Proverbs chapter 9, I thought it did a very interesting organization of that, in that in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 9, you see the way of wisdom. But then there's the parallel near the end of Proverbs chapter 9, which is the way of folly. And so what I wanted to do today is to spend a little time comparing these two ways, the way of wisdom and the way of folly. And I wanted to begin by looking at where there's parallels, where there's things that are similar. And I think as we go through it, you'll see that folly seeks to imitate wisdom. And then what I wanted to do is to contrast folly and wisdom and see, while it seeks to imitate wisdom, it's yet it's a counterfeit. It's not true wisdom. And maybe we can learn some lessons from that. And perhaps, hopefully, it will help us to avoid the way of folly. And then as we look at those contrasts, I think we, as I said, will hopefully learn some lessons. But then I also wanted to take a little time, if we have it, to then look at a section that's in between the two descriptions of the way of folly and the way of wisdom, and look at some of the additional principles that wisdom tells us. And that's found in Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 12. So, if you would, please turn to Proverbs 9. And again, the way of wisdom is first described in verses 1 through 6. So if you follow along with me as I read, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Who is ever simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. So this is the way of wisdom. And then I want us to now jump down and look at the way of folly, beginning in verse 13. It says in verse 13, the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So let's start, as I said, by comparing and seeing some things that are similar between the way of wisdom and the way of folly. And I want us to get, I'll start us off to try to get things going here, okay? All right. So wisdom, it's Wisdom is personified as a woman. It says she, her, right? So we have a woman. Okay? When you look at the way of folly, how is folly personified? She, a woman. Okay? So both ways, we see a woman. All right, now I got it started. What else do you see? They both have a house. Excellent. So there's a house in the way of wisdom, and there's a house in the way of folly. What else do we see? An invitation. An invitation. A call. So we see a call. And I'm going to put that down here. They both have a call. Kind of in between, you see it a little bit more clearly in the way of wisdom. But in between the house and in between the call, what do you see? Yes, Bernard. A meal. A meal. I'm going to call it a feast. It's a feast. The slaughtered animals, the meats, the wines that have been prepared, the table has been set. Now, this may not be as easy to see, but does folly have a feast? It's not hers. That's an important point. So this is wisdom's feast. It's not hers, but is there a feast in the way of folly? Yes. What is it described as? It's stolen. It's water. It's bread. But there is a meal. There's food. There's a meal. It's a feast. Quote, feast. But there is a feast. So we can see the way of wisdom. There's a woman. There's a house. There's a feast. There's a call. One last thing. Yes, John. Yes, they're both to the simple, and I'm grouping that with the call because that's who the call is going to. It's going to the simple, but it's a parallel call, right? And to those that lack knowledge, right, or understanding, right. So there's a parallel call. Their call is very similar in to their audience or who they're directing it to. Yes. That's right. We'll see that. We'll see that they're both going to the highest places. So they're both similar. They're out there. It's a bold call. Yes. And that is much of the character. Now that's a contrast, and we'll get to the contrast in a minute. But when we look at their characters, and we will do that. But you're exactly right. There's an industriousness with the woman wisdom versus the stolen efforts of the woman folly. But let's just stay with what's similar. Yes. Yes, to turn. So there's a shift. You're trying to get them to turn. So that call again, and we'll look at that under the call. We'll spend a lot of time with the call. But that call is to the simple. It's from the highest places, and they're both trying to get them to turn. To turn away from the direction that they're going. Okay? I'm going to just throw out one last thing. And I just was saying, you know, there is a result. They both have a result, an end, a consequence. Yes, Kitty. Yes, indeed. And we will get to that. You are right on. That is at the end. So the lesson is summarized right now. We've got it. We have, it's a similar, there's similarities. There's an imitation here, and I hope as we go through this lesson, we will see that this imitation is a deceitful imitation. It is a counterfeit of what the truth is, and the result of that counterfeit, here is life, and here is death. And that's it. So, if I lose you throughout the lesson, you got the main point. The main point is there. Okay. So that's the parallels. But let's look a little bit more closely at the contrast. All right, again. So, wisdom is personified as a woman. Okay? She takes on the form of a woman. Now, what can we learn about the woman wisdom? In this text, you don't see much. I mean, we do see she's industrious. Yes. She's building, she's furnishing, she's preparing. So there's an industriousness with the woman wisdom. But I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Because in the book of Proverbs, Solomon has gone through here, and there's been a lot of comparison and contrast he's already done between and warnings about folly and wisdom. So if you would look at Proverbs chapter 3, and if you'd look at verses 15 and 16, and this is dealing with the blessings of the one that finds wisdom. Okay, that's what it says in verse 13. But would somebody please read Proverbs 3, verses 15 and 16. Anyone? Yes, Henry.
She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor.
Okay. So, what is wisdom compared to? What is it likened to?
Jewels.
Things we desire.
Riches and honor.
Riches and honor. Let's look at Proverbs chapter... Well, before we leave that. So, we see wisdom compared to things of value. A jewel is something of value. It's attractive to us. But it has value, and it's lasting value. It's not like stocks on the stock market, where today is value and tomorrow is gone. Gold, silver, we also see it compared to. Things of lasting value. So wisdom, its character, its person, is something of lasting value. Also, we can learn something more about wisdom if we look at Proverbs 8. If you would look at Proverbs 8 with me. And we know from God's Word that out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So what's in the heart, what's in the character, what's inside comes out in the words you speak, yeah? And it sort of tells you a little bit about the person, yeah? So if someone would read Proverbs 8, verses 6 and 7. Anyone? Okay, yes. So what comes out of the heart, the words that are spoken by wisdom here? Truth. Noble things, it says in the ESV. Things of worth. So when we look at wisdom, personified as a woman, we see a person, a woman that is described as having lasting value, beauty, speaking noble things. That's that which is truth, not that which is wicked. Now let's contrast that to the woman folly. And I think it's a little clearer in our text. If you look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. Could somebody read Proverbs 9, 13, please? Anyone?
The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing.
Okay. So what words are connected to the woman folly? Not that it is... Negative words. Loud. Clamorous. Immodest. Seductive. Seductive. A very telling word. Seductive. What, you know, I was thinking about that. Do you ever think of something being seductive and being in a positive sense? No. No. I mean, something that is seductive is something that is seeking to entice, seeking to allure, but with a purpose, a negative purpose. It's usually a purpose to corrupt. It's usually a purpose to sin. It's not a purpose to a good end. Also, if you look back, I have to watch my time. I'll spend too much time on all this. The woman folly in other verses in Proverbs, she's likened to a forbidden woman with a wily heart. Someone that's crafty, tricky. Someone that has seductive speech, smooth of tongue. These are words that describe folly. This is the person and the character of folly. So when we contrast these, we see the woman, wisdom, has lasting value. She's noble, truthful. She's not wicked. The woman, folly, she's loud, clamorous. She wants your attention. She's trying to get your attention. But she's seductive. She tries to make herself attractive, but it's for an end. It's to corrupt you, to lead you astray, to cause you to turn from your path. She's wily of heart, and she knows nothing. So that's a little bit of the contrast. Now the house. It took me a while to do this. It's not easy to find a house with seven pillars. Let me tell you. Okay. So would somebody read? This is found in verse 1. I'll just read it. So wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. So she has a house. So you might think of a house back in, this is a house with substance, right? It's got pillars. You know, it's not just a simple house. It's quite a significant house. It has seven pillars. Seven in the Bible oftentimes is a completeness, right? It signifies completeness. But you might think of, perhaps Solomon was thinking of the temple where God resides, where the truth resides. But for us as a Christian, we know in 1 Timothy 3, the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. The house of wisdom, where you find wisdom, where you find truth is in the church. It's an important place to come. This is where we find wisdom. This is where we find truth because God's word is opened up. God's word is expounded here. So the seven pillars. What are the seven pillars? I Googled that and I got, oh boy, there are so many answers to what are the seven pillars. So I'm not going to say I know what the seven pillars are. But there's a lot of different information. They say, well, if it's the church, maybe it's the seven churches, it's the complete church, it's the universal church. Maybe you look at seven in completeness. Proverbs is broken into seven sections. Maybe it's the entire book of Proverbs, it's the seven. I came across this, and I kind of maybe forced the seven here, but, I did. But if you look with me at Proverbs 8, and starting at verses 12, 13, and 14, and for the sake of time, I'll just read that. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. So I kind of broke that out and I said, okay, in the house of wisdom we see maybe one of the pillars is prudence. So prudence dwells with wisdom. So you have prudence. You have knowledge. You have discretion. You have a hatred of evil. And that's based on the fear of God, which the fear of the Lord, that's the foundation. Right? And then there's counsel and sound wisdom, insight and strength. So those seven things could be the seven pillars. Now let's look at the house of folly. It's just a simple house. Try to make it as simple and as dark as possible. It's a place, sin entices you to come in, to be in secret. not out in the open to sin. You think of the adulterous woman. She says, my husband is gone. Come to my house. Come inside. Right? It's a hiding place for sin. Now, in our day and age, it may not just be limited to a building. Right? These houses could be electronic houses. They could be websites. You're just a click away from a house of folly that you can enter into and be exposed to sin and to be lured away off the path. The house of folly imitates the house of wisdom, but it lacks the seven pillars. And when I contrasted these, as I said, we have prudence, right? But in the house of folly, there is no prudence. There is no care of the consequence of sin. It doesn't care. Prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Folly doesn't. They just go on. You see knowledge in the house of wisdom. Folly doesn't have that. It knows nothing. It lacks understanding. You have discretion to be discreet, to choose and do what is proper. Folly's unable to judge that. They'll just do the things that are not proper. You see a hatred of evil. Folly accepts evil. They embrace it. They actually glorify it in many ways. You see, in the house of wisdom is counsel, sound counsel, God's counsel. In the house of folly, they reject it. They reject God's counsel. They refuse God's counsel. In the house of wisdom, you see insight to be able to discern and make the distinction between good and evil. But folly can't make that distinction. They're not able to do that. And finally, you see strength. In the house of wisdom, you see strength. There is an ability to carry out and do what is right, to do wisdom, to put in practice wisdom. But folly is weak. In their house, there's weakness there. They're not able to do what is right. And they're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to sin. The one that enters that. Okay. Next, the feast. I have to move a little more quickly here. So the feast. The feast we already mentioned. The feast of wisdom. You have the slaughtered beast. You have the wine that's mixed. You have the table prepared. There's a complete, full table that's before you. As you're looking for your needs in life, and you're trying to understand what to do, the feast of wisdom is there for you. And what is your greatest need? What is the person's greatest need? It's to be saved. Right? And if you look in Matthew, you might remember the king prepared a feast. Yeah? And he called out, said, come to my feast. The oxen are killed. The calves are prepared. Come. And he sent out the messengers to come. It's the gospel feast, inviting people to come in. Because that's the key, the beginning, to enter into wisdom, to truly understand wisdom. You first have to deal with your sin, and you have to get a right relationship with God so that you can be able to understand and assimilate His truth. But then also that feast, it's an abundant feast. You look at God's Word, it's so abundant. There's guidance and direction for our lives. Every issue you face in your life, if there's not a direct law, should I cheat on my taxes? Thou shalt not steal, right? Very straightforward. It's not. But, you know, there's also principles. Principles on how to live your life, right? Folly. Folly's feast. It's not her feast, by the way. It's a stolen feast. Wisdom's feast is wisdom's to give. Christ gave Himself. God gives His Word. It's His truth that's given for us. Folly's feast. It's water. It's stolen, but it's sweet water, right? It's interesting. Folly is so deceptive, yeah? Here, taste this. It's sweet. It's pleasant for the moment, but it doesn't have a lasting value. It doesn't fully satisfy. You've got to come back. You're going to come back for more. Your wants aren't fully met. And it takes something. In many ways, folly takes the gifts of God, imitates them, and perverts them. You look at sexual sin, right? And it'll say the temptation. God gives us sex within the confines of marriage. It's a gift. Folly says, oh, come on over here. Partake. Just enjoy it for a moment. Come over, right? Tempts us to all these forbidden sins. And it's interesting. It's the aspect of something being forbidden oftentimes makes it even more enticing. Isn't that amazing? It makes it more enticing. Look at her. Look at Eve. Satan comes. He deceives her. She sees the forbidden fruit. She has everything else but the forbidden fruit. And that, because it's forbidden in a perverse way, makes it even more appealing. And Satan deceives and lies and doesn't tell the end. Wisdom provides that which is satisfying and meets our every need. Folly's feast provides pleasure for a moment, but conceals the end. I got to take just a moment here, because I was trying to think about, you know, okay, it's so clear, sexual sins, yeah, because there's the comparison. But there's so many other sensual sins, so many other issues that folly represents. So I'm going to use, I came up with one this morning, materialism. All right? Everybody wants the latest gadget, guys, right? What's the latest electronic gadget, most guys, right? Ladies or men, you might like the newest fashion, the newest clothes. I always want something, right? So, folly says, hey, Black Friday's coming. Black Friday's coming. Come, come. Get a deal. Get a deal. Come to the stores. Get a deal. Right? And there's nothing wrong with being prudent and trying to get a good deal and saving some money. Yeah? There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens when you're enticed by the woman folly and you enter into her house, the markets and the stores, particularly on Black Friday, and the feast is there and all the sweet things are there, and I'm there just to buy this, and then I see that, and then I see that, and I see that. And she says, it's on sale. It's on sale. Buy it. But you forget, Monday, I have to pay the rent. I only got $100. And then I'm going and buying it, buying it, buying it. And then next thing I know, Monday comes, the end is concealed, the result, and it bites us. And in a worse way, in a greater, more just tragic way, is how sin takes us to death. So, we have follies as and wisdom as a woman, as a house, as a feast. Now the call. Okay, I wanted to make sure we had a little bit of time here for the call. So let's look at the call. If somebody could read the call of wisdom, and I'd like you to start with in chapter 9, verses 3, and take it through verse 6, if you would, please. Somebody? Yes, Bob, thanks.
She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live.
Thought, wisdom's call. It's from the highest places. It's an urgent call in that wisdom sends out her maidens. And since it's compared to a woman, it's her maidens, but that could also be gospel messengers being sent out into the world from the highest places. But you see, in earlier verses, and we won't for sake of time turn to it, but it talks about wisdom's crying out in the streets, in the markets, at the head of the noisy streets, at the entrance of the city. And then again, wisdom cries out, and it cries out at the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, beside the gates at the front of the town, at the entrance of the city. Wisdom is crying out and calling the simple. Those that lack knowledge, come and do what we said. Turn. You're on this path. You're moving along down life. Turn. Turn from your simple ways. Turn to wisdom. Turn to where you can get that which is needed. The folly's call. Folly's call also, if you look at it, there's a lot of similarities. If you would look at verses, I guess started in verse 14, and go through verse 17. Or 17. Yes.
She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret. Pleasant.
Yeah. So, folly's call. Just as bold from the highest places. Just as urgent. We see in earlier verses, she's going out into the street. She's going out into the market. She's going out into the high, you know, to the front of the city. She's calling, calling, calling to everyone. She's calling to us even. She's imitating wisdom. She's seeking to compete with wisdom's call. But I found this very interesting. And I don't know if you can officially go by the quotes, Pastor, but I noticed that in Wisdom's Call, it continues and talks about leave your simple ways and live. It talks about the result. It says, and walk in the way of insight. Turn, repent from your sin. Turn to me and live. The result will be life. But when I read in my version, the quote seems to end after pleasant. Folly doesn't say the dead are here. Folly doesn't say the result of doing this is death. Folly is deceptive. Her call is a deceptive call. So while you see that they both are urgent, they're both bold, they're both determined to go out there, Wisdom's call begins with a gospel call. But it's also a call there for us. There's truth here for us. Continue to come back to the Word. Don't go off to the world to seek your understanding. How do I live my life? How do I raise my kids? How do I deal with work? How do I deal with my money? How do I deal with whatever? You go to God's Word. You go to Wisdom's house to find that. Partake of the feast that God has given. And it's a truthful call. It's not a deceptive call. It's going to tell you, this is the way of life. Come this way and live. Whereas folly, the result is death. It says, but he does not know. The simple. They don't know. He does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So in the last few minutes, let's look at, and I'll just read this for sake of time. We have some further guidance and instruction from Wisdom. It says, and starting in verse 7, whoever corrects the scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. There are responses to this call. And as messengers, as representatives of God's truth and of God's wisdom, we need to realize that. When we go to the simple, to the youth, if they are a scorner, They're going to reject that truth that you try to share. They're going to even hate you. They may even seek injury to you for telling them what is right. Don't we see that in the world? You try to tell people what is truth, what is right. They don't want to hear it. They reject it completely. Not only do they reject it, they hate you. You're closed-minded. You're narrow. You're not sensitive to my needs. And they hate you. They may even seek your hurt. But a wise man, you go to a wise man and you try to offer them counsel. You try to offer them wisdom. You try to offer them, maybe correcting them in a way that they're going. Maybe they have a blind spot. They just don't see it. And you try to offer them some help and guidance from God's Word. How do they respond? They'll love you for it. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that counsel. Thank you for that truth. And they will become wiser still. They'll accept that. They'll embrace that. They'll imbibe that into their life. They'll make a change. Well, also, I can't end this without verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's the starting point, right? You've got to have a fear of the Lord. It's got to be a fear of the Lord to be able to fully embrace and understand wisdom. And it also says, and knowledge of the Holy One. We need to understand and have a knowledge of Christ. Know Christ. If you don't know Christ, if He's not your Savior, if you don't know Christ, you cannot fully have wisdom. And that's your greatest need. So don't start worrying about how I'm going to make more money or how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to do that. If you're here today and if you don't know Christ, you need to deal with that first. And wisdom's call, wisdom's house, wisdom's feast, the gospel call is here. It's here. Come. It says come, without money, without price. Come buy. It's free. It's been offered. It's been prepared. It is there for you. And that is the way of life. And never forget, there is consequences. There is consequences for your decisions, for my decisions. We have personal responsibility. Yep. In verse 12, it says, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. At the end, on judgment day, you can have all your excuses. I grew up in this situation. I didn't have these benefits. You know what? At the end of the day, you will bear it. If you're wise, if you accept and embrace the gospel, and you follow God's word, you alone benefit. No one else is going to benefit if you scoff, if you reject it. You bear it alone. Can't blame anyone else. So the question. Both are calling you. Wisdom is calling. Even to the wise. Be wiser still. Follow the truth. There's more learning here. We are not where we need to be yet. We still have sin we need to deal with. We still need to learn more about God's truth. Wisdom is still calling. Come, come, come to my house. Feast upon my table that's been prepared on the Word of God. Come. Folly is just as urgent. Wooing their hearts. Come. Come. It's pleasant. It's enjoyable. Come. But they deceive. They're both anxious for success. Both take the station in the highest places. Both spread out their feast. Both cry out. The result is vastly different. One leads to life, and one leads to death. So which call will you heed today? Let's close in prayer. Our dear God, we confess that if it were not for your grace, if it were not for your mercy, we would be in the house of the fools. We are by nature fools. We are by nature those that just seek pleasure for a moment, those that just care about ourselves and in the next moment to eat, to drink, to be merry. So oftentimes we don't think of the end. Forgive us for that. Help us to understand that there is a eternity that stands before us. Help us to understand that there are greater issues of life that we must deal with. Help us to seek to love you, to serve you, to heed your call, and to come to wisdom, to wisdom's house, to feast upon your word, to learn more of you, to have guidance, direction for our lives. We thank you that you have given us your word, that you have prepared this bountiful table for us. Let us not neglect it. Let us not turn aside to the world. Help us to be able to withstand the call of folly and to come to you and stay committed to you and to your truth. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We pray, Father, that it might be helpful for us in the coming days. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.